piece of meat?
Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid. What is up, film fans? Welcome to another bonus episode. Welcome to Jurassic World and welcome to the Cinema Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Juan, and I'm joined by the cast, the crew, the fellas, the good fellas. Zach?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Nick, the 4K bad guy. Man, how are you?
Doing good.
You guys have a good Thursday? Was it a thirsty Thursday?
A thirsty Thursday.
It was a thirsty Thursday, yes, sir.
Nick, how many chugs of Dr. Pepper are you putting down right now?
How'd you know I was drinking some right now?
I mean, I feel like it's a staple now. It is the go-to.
It is. If I had to put a number on it, 64 ounces.
64 ounces. Man, I'm kind of excited. It's Jurassic World time. We just got done talking about Jurassic Park 3 last Thursday. So if you guys want to take a look back at all the stuff that we've done right here on this YouTube channel, The Lost World 2 weeks ago, and then Jurassic Park 3 last week. But on Monday, we just got done talking about the Top Gun Maverick. So if you guys want to go back and listen to any of those episodes, you can check them out wherever you listen to podcasts at Spotify, Anchor, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music. Check it out. But today, man, today we are talking some more dinosaurs. It's a little bit of a breath of fresh air, if you will, after last week's episode. Nick, are you glad to finally just be done with part three?
Be done with part three? It's time to get more modernized. Some better CGI.
Yeah. Zach, what about you? You know, Jurassic Park 3 is done and in the books, and we're on to the second start of the second parter, I guess, the trilogy. Mm-hmm. I guess you can look at it, Jurassic Park 1, 2, and 3, Jurassic World 1, 2, and
3. Yeah, it's like two different trilogies, Marxton 1. And supposedly it's supposed to be this new one's supposed to conclude this trilogy and, like, as a conclusion to the original Jurassic Park, so.
And, I mean, for those of you that are keeping up, we're only 1 week away. 1 week from tonight, Jurassic World Dominion of the theaters. But we're not going to go see it opening night. We got to talk Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom next Thursday, and then that'll wrap up our bonus series for the Jurassic Park movies.
Yep.
So, but we'll get ready to get into it. If you guys have not ever watched or listened to a bonus episode, it's ad-free, segment-free. We just hop in, leave $5 on the table, then hop right out and get the review in and out. Jurassic World had a release date of June 12th, 2015. With a budget of $150 million, this movie grossed over $167 billion at the box office. IMDb has it at 6.9, Rotten Tomatoes at 71%. The Metascore is only 59%, but the Google users have it at 86%. Starring Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, Ty Simpson, Judy Greer, Nick Robinson, Jake Johnson, Vincent D'Onofrio, probably put that like I always do.
D'Onofrio, yeah.
B.D. Wong, and then directed by Colin
Trevorrow.
Speaking of that, we'll get into some director talk right quick before we get into the movie. A new theme park built on the original site of Jurassic Park creates genetically modified hybrid dinosaurs. The Indorex, which escapes and goes on a killing spree. So we'll get into the director. I've never heard of the director before. Zach, I don't know if you have some of your stuff written down already. If you want to go through his filmography, you can.
Yeah, I mean, he's a relatively new director. He first kind of got going in 2004 with I think it's a documentary film called Reality Show. And I think it's about like a TV show that really never came to fruition, had a pilot that never got started. Safety Not Guaranteed in 2012 with Aubrey Plaza, which I've heard is really good. Jake Johnson is in as well. But this is like his breakout directorial debut with Jurassic World. He followed that up with Book of Henry, which I've heard mixed things about. And then he was a writer, producer on Fallen Kingdom. He was a writer on Rise of Skywalker, and he has returned to do Jurassic World Dominion. So,
interesting.
Not a lot of credits to his name.
So we won't really pick a movie on our favorites because it's just Jurassic World, really, and Dominion, which nobody's seen Dominion yet. So interesting filmography, but let's get into the movie. Zach, I'll start with you. Did you see this in theaters? And honestly, in a few short words, what did you think on this rewatch for the episode?
Yeah, I saw it in theaters twice, actually. The first time, just regular showing, opening weekend, and then I think a week or two later, I saw it in IMAX 3D. Overall, I think this is a much worthy sequel to the original Jurassic Park compared to the last two. Truthfully, we'll get into it, but I just think it was a fresh breath air for the franchise and this film series.
Nick, man, do you remember the first time that you've seen this, and kind of how was it like revisiting it for the episode?
As far as this movie, this was actually been my first time viewing. Yeah, oddly enough, I saw this, a second Jurassic World in theaters. I don't know why I skipped over this first one.
did you kind of enjoy it a little bit for this watch or
for this watch? Yeah. Definitely a bigger jump from the third one.
And yeah, it was a big jump from literally like release two, from you go from 2001 to 2015. What is that, like a 14-year gap in between two movies? But I'll let you guys talk about it for a little bit. I was completely surprised. I forgot this movie made almost over half $1 billion.
Yeah.
That's insane to me, especially with how I think it was because of how bad the third one just left a nasty taste in everybody's mouth, and everybody was just rooting for Jurassic Park again.
I think it's a combination of that, and it's like, you know, we hadn't seen this franchise in almost, like you said, Johnny, almost 15 years, and so it's like, what could they do something? What could they do different? How can they improve on what came before? And I think, I mean, all of us would probably agree this is definitely a much better film than the last one that we reviewed. So,
yeah, Nick, you kind of already brought it up. The new visuals, new CGI scenes, the opening of a very different opening. You get the opening of like the cracked egg and the little. I guess it's a raptor, or do you think it's the new?
I think it's the new one, the Indominus Rex.
Yeah, Indominus Rex. You guys can jump in. I was not a fan of the hybrid breeding dinosaurs. It kind of felt like it was just a little bit of a rehashing of the original. Like let's kind of go back and just repackage at least the first maybe hour of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to like be the Debbie Downer, but at least the first hour of the movie kind of just felt like a repackage of the original Jurassic Park. The only thing that's different, obviously, is the park's open. It's been open. It's an established park. Nick, what did you think of the visuals of the park looking like hey, it's open. It's, you know, it's a nice established park. Did it look like a place you would go to?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I'm imagining like how it would be like just going to this place. I can't without giving away where I work. I work in an area that's like this. So just imagine it with dinosaurs. That was pretty cool to see it finally up and going since it was teased in the original movies.
Yeah, I mean, it was very nice to see how it looked. That's probably one of the best things I will say about the open is just the way the park looked, the on-site location, the filming in Hawaii and filming in Louisiana. All that being just an outdoor movie set was just amazing. I didn't know that it was an abandoned theme park that was like underneath 600 feet of water during Katrina. And they just, you know, cleaned it up and filmed all over it. Mm-hmm. Insane as far as like having over 1,000 extras and just the park looking really good. Zach, what did you think of finally seeing like an opened park that had been established, something that we've never seen in any of the first three films?
Yeah, I think that's where this movie succeeds. I think, you know, the whole notion of what the park was going to be in the first film, you know, John Hammond really had like a clear sense in the nature of what he wanted. But I think this takes it a whole new step forward. You know, if you really just pay attention, there's so much like merchandise or name recognition. There's like Pandora's jewelry. If you look off to the left, Margaritaville, I think Subway was in there, and it just made it look like, you know, if you, like you said, Nick, if you went to Disney World and they had dinosaurs, you know.
Yeah, they had a Starbucks also. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. I had to get that T-Rex Frappuccino, you know. So.
And then you meet some of the cast, or not cast, but you meet some of the, you know, the workers. Like, one of the people who stand out to me is Jake Johnson as one of the indoor tech guys. And you see he's just like, he's got the Jurassic Park shirt. He's drinking from the mug.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're like, isn't that in bad taste? Like, several people died. And I'm like, you know, I just find it fun that they cross-referenced that movie. And it's just like, you know, hey, you know, those events totally did happen. And it's always fun when they mention stuff like that.
I think If you notice like quickly, it's only in a shot for like 3 seconds, but he had Ian Malcolm's book sitting next to the computer monitor or whatever. You know, we talked about when we did Top Gun Maverick earlier this week, the idea of callbacks and like homaging what came before. And Johnny, you, me, and Craig, we kind of had the idea that Top Gun Maverick did it very gracefully, and they did it in a way that was very, not pushing you to remember, but just like gradual. And it's just like, oh yeah, that was from the first film. They did that in a really cool way to bring it back and everything. This one is much more, I feel like, on the nose. I don't know what you guys think, but like the idea of playing the original John Williams score like every 15 minutes kind of got old after a while, you know.
What do you think, Nick? I would say I feel like they had to. I don't think you can do a Jurassic Park movie and not have that score in there. I probably get what you're saying, like every 20 minutes, but it's just. What do you think, Nick? Do you?
Man, you could have maybe done two, three at most.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I get it's very iconic. The music, the score of the movie, but to do it about the whole movie, imagine watching a Halloween movie and then just the same, keep using it. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
These are important parts.
I mean, they had original score by Michael Guccione, but I mean, it was like, I feel like it was more referencing the score of the past than actually creating a new original score, I guess I could say. I mean, the kids, Gray and Zach, they literally come across the original the building that, you know, at the end of the first film, the T-Rex has the fight with the raptors and everything. I mean, it literally, they go to the old park and kind of, they, you know, get the Jeep, the goggles, and it's just, I mean, it's cool. It's cool, but it's like, I don't know. Do we need to do this? I mean, we all love the original Jurassic Park. You don't have to remind us about it, you know?
I think this is more of one of those movies that, in order to continue the future, you have to respect the past, but almost forget about what came after Jurassic Park. Like, I feel like they really wanted you to forget Lost World and Jurassic Park 3. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to reference the first one as many times as we can, but I feel like you could have not been a Jurassic Park fan and go into this movie and just completely have a blast.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that, yeah.
I think this is a perfect, if you've never seen 1, 2, or 3, I don't think you really have to. Save yourself some hours, maybe, and save yourself the trouble of going through 3 and just start fresh with this one. Because, that's how I would feel. Nick, we'll start with you. What did you think of some of the cast members, like introduce Claire or Owen with Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard, the two main characters?
I really like Chris Pratt's character. I mean, there's some other actors that I thought was pretty cool casting. Like, I wasn't full on board with everyone's casting, but like you mentioned an actor earlier, Jay Johnson. I enjoy most of his work. it's cool seeing him in the movie.
I think he really could have been have more of a character in the movie. You know, he's only probably in it for like maybe 15-20 minutes.
Could have had a bigger role. Just there. Like, you bring in Judy Greer. She's also in the new Halloween movies. Funny enough, using the same name. So it's like some weird multiverse going on here.
I mean, it is Universal.
That's the twist of Halloween Kills, is they bring dinosaurs into it.
That's the way to take him down, man. I really love that you talked about some of the secondary characters, because they're only in it for a little bit, but man, like, they have an impact, and they make this movie memorable, something that, to me, Jurassic Park 3 was not. That was a big kudos, Nick. I'm glad you brought those two up, because it's just it's small things like that that makes some of these movies like really fun. What did you guys think of the two kids, the two brothers? You know, you have the one who is a little down on his luck because I guess his parents got a divorce, and then the older one, you know, he's been there, done that, he's gone through it, he's a teenager looking for a little lady companionship on his vacation, you know, and nothing wrong with that. So he's trying to ditch the little brother in any way he can, just to try to go do what he needs to do. Did you guys like the interaction and the brothership of that? Or do you guys think it needed I feel like it was just a repackaging of the first one. Do you feel like it even needed kids to be in? Nick, did you enjoy the kids?
They enjoy the kids.
Like, the casting of the kids, or just like the characters in general.
I don't want to be the guy to say I could really care less about the kid Rosen, but
no, man, that's cool.
No, but I mean,
if you hate him, I'll go right there with you. I'll agree with you.
I mean, they played the kid roles fine. I mean, teenage, the typical roles. I said they weren't like standout characters for me, but I mean, I guess that's a kind of a real portrayal, kind of.
I'll ask you the same question, Zach, but before I do, I just want to let you guys know, like, I kind of, like, didn't have any relationship or feelings for the kids. Like, you know, they were there, but I felt the character development for the two kids were just, let's just throw them in there because they're kids. I had no attachment to these characters whatsoever.
Mm. Yeah, like you said, the older brother's just there to try to find some eye candy and whatnot. I find it hilarious that, I mean, in the beginning of the movie, doesn't he? He's only saying goodbye to, I believe it's, I don't know if it was his girlfriend or just like his one night stand or whatever. So I'm only gonna be on for a week. So I was like, oh, this guy's just eyeing every girl he sees. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So trying to go find his Velociraptor octopus dinosaur. Zach, what do you think? The two kids, did you have any kind of like, you know, at least in the first one, I did have some feelings towards those kids, but these ones I were like, they're two teenage boys almost. I'm kind of like not really caring about how they are.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about this with the last two films. It's just like, do we really need to bring kids into this? I mean, they're caricatures, I guess you could say. You know, the like you said, the older brother's just there to gawk at girls and, you know, try to ditch his brother. And the little brother, I think he's kind of on the autism spectrum because he just, like, he knows, like, the facts about the island. You know, by the time we get to the end, he says we need more teeth. And just it's just, like, little moments here and there that's just like, okay, there's, like, there's nothing wrong with this kid, but you could tell there's, like, a delay or just something that there's just something off about him, I guess you could say, you know, and that's not in a negative way or anything.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't need no hate. I don't need no hate mail. It's fine.
Well, you guys brought up how it just does feel like a nice animal park in this movie. Mm-hmm. How about the water scenes? Zach, I'm going to have to ask you, cause I did not write down what is Nick, you too, if you know any of the names of the dinosaurs. I didn't write down any of the names.
The Mesosaurus.
The Meso what?
Mesosaurus. Gesundheit.
Because, yeah. I thought that scene with those dinosaurs were real fun. Kind of have a little SeaWorld kind of feeling.
Yeah.
I don't know how the splash scenes would go, though. That water probably just reeks. What do you think?
I thought okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, Nick.
Sorry. I was going to say that scene was pretty cool. Just like how they fit that. I'm not really type which type of shark it was, Jaws. But Jaws. They fit him Jaws like Steven Spielberg. and how it attacked it. And like the, of course, you get the little splash section area. And then after that, they get like, they go like downwards into like an underwater viewing area. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, I think the real world applications to what they did to the park, like the Sea World and like the petting zoo and like the gyropheres where you could just ride them out into like the plains and everything. That was cool. Like the whole notion of, you know, different aspects of the park and what you could go do, that was real fun. And I that was one of the most enjoyable parts of the film to me.
Introducing Vince's character, Hoskins, and then, you know, we talked about Owen a little bit earlier, but what do you guys think of just the raptors and the way the raptors are now being taught and they're taking orders, and Owen is just kind of like this dog whisperer now, but he's like a
raptor whisperer.
Yeah. Do you guys enjoy that aspect? Because throughout all three movies, you know, they're like, they're uncontrollable. They're just smart as anything. They're like a jaguar, you know, they can develop and hunt and kill. But in this movie, they're kind of tame. Did you guys enjoy that aspect of the raptors in this movie? Or were you kind of like, okay, what is this?
I remember when the first trailer for this movie dropped, and at the end of it, it was Chris Pratt riding the motorcycle with the raptors. At first, I was like, what? Like, what are we doing with this? But when they explain, like, you know, it's trying to be like, they're trying to use it for military applications, and you can, you know, instead of using human beings and going into a cave that's probably filled with mines, to send raptors in there. That was cool. And the whole, I agree with you, Johnny, a little bit that these raptors are much more tamed, but just probably because of the, what is it when animals do when they imprint on Chris Pratt? But I mean, that gets kind of turned around later in the film when the Indominus gets escaped, and it's kind of revealed what the Indominus is made of. So,
Nick, did you enjoy like the way the raptors were, you know, used for like military weapons? Because I mean, they added some real life, you know, feelings to it. Because I'm sure if we had that kind of technology and had dinosaurs where we could control them. Guess what? I'm sure the military would like hop in and take them. So did you enjoy that, or were you, you know, how'd you feel about it?
I think it's a smart, fresh take on the series. I mean, really, because in the whole movie, they're just kind of being compared to as animals, and most animals you can train to do some commands. So, but even then, like it's still like an unsure thing. Like, are they fully tamed, like on control? Because they were going, but like going crazy.
Mm-hmm. And I like the when we get introduced to Bryce Dallas Howard. It was her whole thing is kind of like she's like a manager of the park or whatever, and it kind of brings up the idea of consumerism and like commercialization of, like, you know, people aren't interested in seeing a stegosaurus or a T-Rex or a triceratops anymore. You know, they want something big, they want something nastier than what's came before. And I agree with you, Johnny, a little bit with the genetic creation of the dinosaurs, but I mean this is what the whole series is based off anyway, basically from Amber from the very beginning. But that I feel like this movie did it better than what comes next in Fallen Kingdom, but you know, that's a discussion for next week. But I enjoyed the genetic application of how they built the Indominus Rex.
I mean, so did I. I was going to read this. I wasn't really going to do it anything like that today, but I just got a little bit ago, so I was gonna share it with you guys. Usually I do emails on Mondays, but this email says from Jeffrey, Jurassic World is okay. Feels overwhelming and too long, kind of a fake feeling story, wasted opportunities and a wasted watch. The Raptors were not believable. 5 stars. Usually I don't throw any of my emails under the bus. But I mean, I can see maybe where this person thinks that it was maybe a little too long or too lengthy or too girthy, like we say, but kind of a fake feeling. I mean, we're watching dinosaurs on a TV.
CGI creations, yeah.
They, you know, they passed away 365 million years ago or billion years ago, however many years they lived. What do you think? Do you guys think some people take these movies maybe just a little too much of a serious watch, or maybe they compare it to something different? You know, I feel like these movies are just your average fun popcorn action movies. Like, you know, I don't feel like you should go in there with too much high expectation. But Zach, I mean, you're a huge Jurassic Park fan. So talking to somebody, you know, who compares mostly everything as far as big CGI animals go, you have to compare it to Jurassic Park, I guess. Do you think it's fair to compare these movies anymore to the original? I don't think you should. I think that's where a lot of people probably mess up.
And that's the thing for me. It's just like, it's if, I don't know, like, I don't want to bring up the Top Gun Maverick thing again, but I mean, like, that movie, you don't even have to see the original Top Gun to enjoy that. I mean, that's just pure fun on a high octane level. And for me, when I went and saw Jurassic World, I wasn't ready to say, oh, this is going to be better than the original, because otherwise I would have been completely disappointed. That first film was so groundbreaking, not only in just a new type of storytelling, but just the visual effects. I mean, the visual effects, even still this day, is almost a 30-year-old film. It still holds up, you know. And I think anyone that tries to go in comparing, trying to say that this is going to outdo the original, I think you're just doomed to fail. Because I think that 2, 3, 4, and 5, and I don't know about Dominion, but I mean, do I think those are bad films? No. Well, maybe 3, but do I think that, like, in comparison to the original, these are not great film, these are okay films compared to the original. But I don't, like I said, I don't I don't go into these films expecting greatness. You know, I just want to have a fun blockbuster time. So what about you, Nick?
Yeah, I don't know if I would ever go into a movie like this and complete, be serious or anything like that. Yeah, this is one of the movies just supposed to have a fun time with Star Wars, man.
Yeah.
But if it's part three, then that's different.
It's part three, yeah. It's part three, then no, I'm good.
No,
but I mean, it's like the whole concept, you know, like you said, Nick, it's dinosaurs. I mean, it's something that lived millions of years ago, and we have the ability to bring them back through CGI. I mean, what more do you need? You know, what about you, Johnny?
I went into this movie just like with an open mind, not even thinking about one, two, or three. And it started off a little slow, but I enjoyed the way the park looked, introducing some of the new characters, all the, you know, the way the CGI dinosaurs looked. An hour into the movie, you finally get the kids, you know, the kids get attacked by the new vicious dinosaur that they introduce. We haven't really talked about the Zach, what did you call it again?
Indominus Rex. It's a new product from Apple. Yeah.
I personally like the way that thing was introduced. You know, they tell you right off the bat that thing is already thinking and is fooling, you know, the actual humans in the movie. Mm-hmm. And man, that thing is like, is massive. It's huge. It's fast. But again, they almost tease that this thing is they don't really tease it right off the bat that it's a raptor, but
no.
You kind of get well, some feels of it.
On this rewatch, I thought it was kind of, I didn't really pick up on it on the first time viewing, but like they say, what's it made of? T-Rex, and what's the other half? That's confidential. The only other thing that could be possibly made of is a raptor. That's the only quote unquote bad guy dinosaur that we have in these films. So
what if it was also half like pterodactyl and like,
oh shit, the wings.
Yeah, big ass wings come out from it. Or it's like a Bug's Life and the wings that come out are like this big. Like everybody that's living, you know, real, real, real small wings. But you know, the kids get attacked, the other dinosaurs kind of start escaping. The search and rescue goes down for the kids, and
it's a total massacre.
Yeah, you see some awesome scenes like when they try to get into the old original Jeep, and then the helicopter scene with the, we didn't even talk about the new billionaire, kind of because I had a hard time pronouncing his name.
Ifrin Khan.
There we go.
Yeah, he's like the.
He's like the new management of.
Yeah, he's like the original Hammond. Like when Hammond died, he like passed on all his responsibilities to him, basically.
Engine kept getting brought up into this movie. At this point, Zach, in the movie, this part of the franchise, where is Engine compared to where they were when we left off in The Lost World? Engine really doesn't get mentioned in 3.
No.
But it gets mentioned here. And you haven't really heard Engine since The Lost World.
I think Engine,
because
took Vincent, a hit. Yeah, Vincent D'Onofrio is kind of like his their puppet, if you will. I guess you would say, and so is BD Wong. Because by the time all hell breaks loose, you know they're evacuating him with the embryos, and so it's just like, oh, so you know, without even trying, so you're just going to go ahead and set up a second film, you know. But I mean, I think they took a hit in The Lost World, obviously. But I think it's kind of like the Empire in Star Wars. It's always like in the background somewhere, and it's always going to be brought up eventually. So,
The Sirens, they're not really called pterodactyls in this movie. What are they? They're kind of like another breed of dinosaurs.
Yeah. I call them pterodactyls. I mean, I know they're probably not. That's not the scientific name for them, but that's what we know. So
I'll ask you guys. Nick, we'll start with you. The sirens, pterodactyls going off, all those people just running and screaming, getting picked up and thrown, you know, getting dropped. I thought those were some pretty fun scenes.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome seeing that. One of the pterodactyls or sirens, whatever, like it picks up the assistant.
Yeah,
the one supposed to be babysitting, whatever. it kept cracking me up because she would drop it and they'd catch her back up, and then they're like close to the water, and you know that what's it called? That big old dinosaur.
The Mesosaurus.
The Mesosaurus just gulps it up.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit.
I was like, that'd be a horrible death. You get picked on by a giant bird and then you get swallowed whole by a sea creature.
So was she there with the pterodactyl or
the Mesosaurus?
Yeah, I know the Mesosaurus had ate the other pterodactyl or siren.
Yeah, because like the pterodactyl's picking her up in and out of the water, and then the pterodactyl tries to escape, but he gets eaten and then gets dragged underwater with the girl, like in the clutches of the pterodactyl, and then you can barely see like her hands like on the Mesosaur's tongue. I was like, oh, that'd be a horrible way to go.
It's like a 2-for-1, man. That was pretty awesome.
Almost like Buzz and Woody at Pizza Planet.
There you go.
Double prizes.
I mean, from then on, I mean, it's just kind of like a rescue mission. And by the time, you know, they kind of figure out that they can't take this thing down, they get Chris Pratt into it and they say, you know, if we're going to do this, we're going to do it my way. Wrangle up them raptors and, you know, decide to go on the hunt.
Yeah, and then it turns into a rescue mission, like you said. You get the death of Hoskins.
Hoskins, yep.
Which was a pretty cool looking death. You know, and the big twist, not really a big twist, but the twist at the end really is that, you know, they're using the raptors to go after the I-Rex, and then come to find out the raptors are like now going rogue, mm-hmm. and now they're joining up with this, you know, this I-Rex, and completely just
destroys the team.
Yeah. Except for Blue. This is where you guys get introduced to Blue, mm-hmm. who has now kind of been a staple, I guess, of these last two movies.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, Blue will have another big part in the final one,
mm-hmm.
Dominion in next week. But what do you guys think of Blue? Were you guys okay with picking a raptor and giving it a name and singling out one raptor compared to the rest? Nick, are you a Blue fan?
I like the color blue, yes.
Not a Blu-ray fan.
A Blu-ray. Or blue on Dr. Verkani head. To choose a raptor, like you said, it was like these are known to be the bad guys. I mean, is it a bias because I'm a bad guy that no, but it's quite interesting. I feel like they wanted to make like their little mascot, or I don't know.
Blue is and all the raptors in this movie look different compared to the rest. Like, you know, they're all a little, again, I don't think any dinosaur in this movie is, besides maybe when you see the original T-Rex or when you see a T-Rex at all, that's the only dinosaur that's probably not a hybrid. Everything else is, I think, is a hybrid, right, Zach?
Mm-hmm. Everything is like, like you said, enhanced. With the exception of the original, yeah, they're more enhanced than the original T-Rex, which they've confirmed that is the original one from the first film. So
Blue is completely like really enhanced and really a hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think, Zach? Did you enjoy Blue? Are you glad that there's like a, like Nick said, a mascot, or are you kind of just like,
I mean, I think anytime you have a situation where you're going to have a character that trains animals or whatever, you're gonna have like the main one that you as an audience attached to. You know, I figured if Blue is like the alpha of the team. No, the delta of delta the team. Beta. The beta, yeah. They're going to kill the other ones off, you know, whether it be in a fight or they get blown up to smithereens or whatever. So I figured Blue was going to be the one that survives through the entire situation.
You hear the words, "We need more teeth." Boom, right there. Mm.
Is anyone surprised that Claire was able to run away from a T-Rex in heels? That's like one of the biggest memes from this movie. It's like, how is that even plausible?
Hmm. Look, man. She's amazing. She's a multi-billion-dollar, like, you know, head of this extraordinary company. She can run and do whatever she wants to do, okay? If she wants to run away from a T-Rex in high heels and look good doing it, more power to her.
Sure.
Oh, boy. Yeah. but you know what it was, though? I think Nike put out those heels. I think those are Nike heels.
It's a paid promotion.
If there's anything I got from it, some way there was a bunch of some random sponsorships in the movie.
I'm glad you brought that up, though. What did you guys think? You know, that's another new addition. I think it was what they were calling, they were going to call a dinosaur, or his cage area, like the Verizon like area.
Yeah,
like that's kind of, again, adding a new element and a real life addition to, if there really was a dinosaur park, like, you know, NBA jerseys, NASCAR sponsors. It's really huge with some of these.
Just have Jurassic World logo on a NASCAR jumpsuit to get ready for the race.
Yeah, like I it's the small details in this movie that makes me kind of appreciate this on the second, third time watch.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, it makes it feel updated. Nick, I think you said that word earlier, compared to, you know, and compared to making The Lost World or Jurassic Park 3 feel like more of a monster movie. This one makes it feel like it could be a real life situation with real life crisis.
Yes.
On our hands.
Yeah.
The sponsorship, I think, was pretty funny. Did it ever say how much tickets are? Like if in this movie, I know in prior movies they had teased how much tickets would be. You know, the lawyer at the first one was like, we could charge 200,000, 300,000, people would pay. But in this one, did it say how much tickets would be? Because you would imagine tickets like that would be huge.
I don't think, well, in order to keep the park running, probably. But I mean, like, the two kids, I think they come from like a regular suburban household. So clearly the parents got it for them for Christmas or something.
You looking at that house them kids were living in, you say regular?
Oh, to answer that question.
In today's market.
It was their aunt that got them in.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. The aunt hooked them up.
Yeah, they got that VIP ticks.
But I mean, like, in that situation, real world situation, it's, I mean, I would have to think those tickets would be like, you know, concert tickets nowadays, maybe like $800-$900, you know, and or at least in order to keep the foundation going.
Probably like a resort ticket. You get the cruise ride is involved, the hotel stay, and the actual ticket to the park. Probably about $9,000 tickets. Or like the lawyer in the first one said, we can have a coupon day.
You have to sign a non-disclosure agreement saying if you get dismembered or death, it's not our problem. Yeah. We don't have control of these creatures.
No shit.
But what do we think about the money? You know, probably the climax of the movie where the T-Rex, Claire releases the T-Rex. He busts through the skeleton of a Spinosaurus, which is basically the filmmaker's way of saying, F you, three, you don't exist. And, you know, you get the big battle between T-Rex and Blue versus the Indominus.
Big old handicap match at the end of the movie.
It was a handicap match. I was like, all right, well, this is your shot again, T-Rex. You better not screw it up. And, I mean, T-Rex was dominating, and then, of course, the I-Rex, is that what it was called, referred to as?
Yeah.
Of course, that one was just built up to be a beast, so it was getting the upper hand, and then Blue comes out of nowhere to save the day.
Is it? Do you find that? Do you guys find that cheesy? Just like, oh, it's clearly this match is about to be over, and then Blue just randomly comes out from around the corner.
The little tiny rat.
No, I honestly forgot.
It's a tag match. Like, you're in.
Oh. What it leads up to, I don't know if this is already spoiling it, but it becomes a 3-on-1 towards the end.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I almost forgot it. I kind of forgot about the ending, so I thought the I-Rex was going to completely get the T-Rex again. And I was like, man, is this two movies back to back where the T-Rex goes down? And then, you know, you did see Blue come out of nowhere. So I actually kind of forgot there for a minute. So it was pretty cool to see, you know, the handicap of the I-Rex going down. And then, Nick, like you said, the Mosasaurus?
Yeah.
The Mosasaurus.
The big fish, big fish.
Isn't that right? The Mosasaurus, is that what they called it?
Yeah,
they just call it Wellsaurus.
Oh,
Free Willy.
Well, I was like, are they calling it the Mosasaurus because of the part in sea?
Mosasaurus.
That's why I wanted to confirm. Like, I mean, if they're calling it the Mosasaurus,
well, that's the sequel to Passion of the Christ. So,
oh, okay. So yeah, like I enjoyed the ending this time around a lot more than it did the first time because it kind of felt fresh.
Yeah. Are you guys mad that got the kill, that the Mosasaurus got the kill instead of the T-Rex?
No.
Or do you think it was just kind of like a cool like jump scare and it gets taken down into the aquarium?
It's wrestling riding 101. Yeah. You gotta put you gotta put the new star over, man.
The Mosasaurus got to eat 3 times in the movie. I'm pretty sure I had to eat more times, but as far as shown, Jaws, the pterodactyl, and then
now this,
the I-Rex, yeah.
Yeah. Zach, I want to ask both of you guys this actually because I have it written down. Nick, I'm sure you've seen Kong versus Godzilla, yeah?
The new one?
Yeah.
It's like the original one. No, I see the new one.
What do you guys think? Who did it better with some of these new Jurassic Park movies with these big dinosaurs fighting on the big screen? As far as like some of the cinematography goes, do you like it better in the way Jurassic Park movies are shooting the big dinosaurs, like on the one screen fighting, or did you guys like the way Kong versus Godzilla did it? Because you can say, yeah, it kind of just feels the same, but like to me, this feels like you had a better wide shot of the dinosaurs fighting, to where in Kong versus Godzilla, it was more of a waist up high fight. I don't know. I just thought I'd bring that up because I thought it was pretty interesting.
I think in this one, the end fight sequence is very, very good. You get to see like full on, like just like it almost looked like nature footage, if you will, kind of just like two animals going at it and like the T-Rex just slamming the I-Rex into the buildings and everything. I thought that was cool. I feel like, to answer your question, Johnny, I think the fight choreography in Kong versus Godzilla versus Kong is a little bit better. Like especially the aircraft carrier sequence, the camera kind of does some cool rolls and tricks in order to get like from one to kind of present the idea of the perspective of either Godzilla or Kong. So, I mean, that's kind of my answer to it. So, what about you, Nick?
A dinosaur fight or two kaiju monsters? I mean, there was punches being thrown with Kong. No, but being for a dinosaur fight, I mean, that was pretty awesome. But to compare it to King Kong versus Godzilla, that's...
This one's
kinda
not fair, huh?
It's
kind of. Yeah, Kong versus Godzilla took it to a whole other level.
Godzilla's a freaking god. Just throwing out blasts out of his mouth.
And that movie had like 5 more years of CGI work, you know, that could be added onto it. So,
you know, with the ending, you get the survival talk between Owen and God, for some reason, I keep forgetting her name.
Claire.
Claire. It teases, you know, their whole getting back together, because we didn't really talk about their relationship, but I guess they had a prior relationship prior. Didn't really work out. She comes and asks him for help. But at the very, very end, you know, they tease that they trying to get back together. Final shot of the movie gets you just hyped up for the next one. The final scene is the T-Rex just standing on top of a Plymouth Rock, and he just looks over the carnage and
takes in the view,
and he just lets out a big old roar.
Or as they say, it's back to Jurassic World.
Yeah. Back to Jurassic World. What'd you guys like? Did you guys like the ending? Did it get you hyped up for Fallen Kingdom, which we're going to review next week?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of when you're in a Jurassic Park film, you kind of want the dinosaurs to take back the land and take back control. So, I mean, I wouldn't say it's an obvious conclusion, but I think it's a necessary conclusion, especially with what comes next.
Nick, did you like that big old roar at the end?
Roar. I thought it was a nice conclusion. I mean, T-Rex got to stand tall in this movie. That was nice. Just the whole scenery and the outside. It's kind of like in the scene in Jurassic Park 2, where he's about to enter the city. But, man, I hate the internet, because I saw a video where it's dubbed over with the dinosaur saying yas.
Yes.
Have you seen that video before?
Yeah, my co-worker sends it to me all the time. I was like, okay, do not ruin this new movie for me.
Oh, boy. And, of course, there's that scene earlier in the movie where Chris Pratt, Owen, where he's checking up on the dying, I forget what they're called, that dinosaur, but it's that famous meme where it says, I'm going to need about 350.
Yeah.
So, gosh, the internet ruins everything.
Yeah, basically. Thanks, memes. So, favorite scenes. I mean, that's basically the end of the movie. The kids get reunited with the mom and dad, and then Claire and Owen kind of quote-unquote restart their relationship. Nick, do you got any favorite scenes?
Favorite scenes? For sure, had to be like the final battle going on there. Mm-hmm. Or even some of the scenes I kind of mentioned earlier with the Mesosaurus. Yeah. I'm saying that right.
Yeah, the final battle between the T-Rex, Blue, and the Indominus is probably by far probably one of the best scenes in the movie. The helicopter crash and the bird cage, I thought was actually a really cool scene. And then the attack from all the flying dinosaurs were cool. Anything with the Mesosaurus. What about you, Johnny?
If I had to pick a favorite scene, just to be a little different, it would probably be the full-on introduction of Owen and Chris Pratt, where he is in full-fledged. He's in action. He's, you know, doing. He's shown what he can do, feeding, controlling the raptors. Mm-hmm. And that big, huge steel cage thing that they just have him in is, like, honestly pretty cool. And then knowing that they actually built that for fake dinosaurs, like not even real fake ones, like they're just CGI, like I was like, man, they spared no expense on some of the actual sets. So seeing some of the hard work in this movie that got put up, I know we don't talk about that a lot sometimes, but the actual shooting on location, like I said, Louisiana and Hawaii, you mm-hmm. still have to appreciate a lot of that today, especially when they could just go into a studio and put up a green screen. So
yeah,
a lot of the scenes where it shows the wide shot cinematography of on locations, I thought those were some really good scenes.
Yeah.
Just to stand out and be a little different from some of the main action scenes. And then of course all the scenes that you guys brought up were of course amazing as well. Before we bring up the star rating, which is coming up, I want to ask you guys just, you know, simple yes or no question. If you want to answer yes or no, if you want to put some meaning behind it, are you glad that there were no legacy characters in this movie and they saved it for maybe the next two? Do you think that was, did you agree and did you like that, or do you feel like this needed one or two legacy characters?
I'm glad that they did. Other than the exception of B.D. Wong from the original film, but I mean, like, he's just still there, kind of doing the like the genetic aspect of it.
Right.
I think that was a smart decision in that we were trying to do something different and stand on its own and kind of keep away from the original film. So I thought they did a good job with that.
True. Paid off, made over $500 million, $1.5 billion. Nick, what about you? Did you enjoy that none of the legacy characters came back and they're secretly holding them for the next movie?
Yeah, I don't think they needed to put anyone besides Wong by his account. It was just cool to see a fresh take. I mean, if you put it, Jeff Goldblum in it, that's just complete fan service. But
speaking of money, let's talk about this before we do star rating. You know, 2015. I don't know if you guys ever had like a favorite year of cinema. 2015 was probably my favorite. I mean, we had so many big blockbusters that year. I mean, it was just insane. And there was always the talk of, you know, is this the death of movies? Is, you know, going to the theaters over? And it's just like, no, you just need to come up with films that people want to go see. And I have a list right here. I'm going to name off the top 10 highest grossing films of that year. Number one is probably no surprise, but The Force Awakens with $2.2 billion. Jurassic World comes in second with $1.6 billion. Number three is Furious 7 with $1.5 billion. Avengers Age of Ultron, $1.3 billion. Minions.
Sure.
Minions came out on with the top five with $1.1 billion. And then it's Spectre with number six. Number seven, Inside Out. Number eight, Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Number nine, The Martian. And then Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 2 rounds out the top 10. But I mean, the top five movies of that year made over $1 billion. So I mean, that $5 billion made, with the exception of the other five, that's pretty impressive.
2013 feels like ages ago.
Yeah.
Star rating Jurassic World. Zach, I'm putting you on the spot. You go first.
I really, really like this one. I think this is a much better film, obviously, than three. It's even better than two. It doesn't quite get to the heights of Jurassic Park, but I think what they were able to do and come up with something new, they did a very good job. I like Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard in these roles, so I'm kind of excited to see how their storyline wraps up in Dominion. I'll give it 8 out of 10.
I'm going to have to give this movie 7. For the same reasons you said, Zach, I just wasn't sold on maybe, I really can't even say hardly anything bad about it. I feel like a 7 is just a nice spot for me to put this at, because I really liked Lost World.
What'd you give Lost World?
I think I gave it an 8.
Okay.
First one's a 10 for me, but we'll talk about that at another time. But I think, this one is memorable. It's got some fun scenes. The CGI is great. It's just something that, you know, it might be just maybe the length. Maybe, you know, I don't think every movie has to be like 215 or 210.
Wait till we get to Dominion.
Oh, no.
Two and a half hours.
But, I would sit at a nice 7 for this one. Nick, what about you? What are you giving Jurassic World?
Me? Well, personally, I think I enjoyed this one just a little bit more than the Lost World. And I believe on that rating, I did give it a 7.5.
Yep.
So I'm going to go with an 8 for that.
Nice. Yeah. This is definitely a fun movie. Jurassic World is available, I believe, on Amazon Prime. And for like $3.99, you can rent it. Or, you know what? Dominion's just a week away. You guys can check it out on Blu-ray real cheap, wherever you find your Blu-rays at, for like, I think it's I saw it at Best Buy for like $10, I think, regular Blu-ray.
Then they just re-release it on 4K.
Yeah, they re-released it on 4K, I think, for like $19.99. So it's definitely out there to find. If you're a big fan of 1, 2, or 3, I mean, it's definitely worth the pickup. So, yeah, Jurassic World 2015 is in the books. If you guys want to follow us on the social media, the Facebook page is facebook.com/thecinemamoviepodcast. We are giving away all kinds of stuff over there, giveaways, digital copies. Our big girthy giveaway will be back later this year, probably in, I'm going to say maybe, maybe September. Digital copy of The Batman. Go get it. It's on Instagram as well. The Instagram is one word, Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Or the Twitter is Twitter/Cinnamon405. If you want to enter all three times for the Batman digital copy giveaway, enter it at all three of the social medias. And then, Nick, where can they can follow you at?
You can follow me at the 4K Bad Guy. Or you can see me on the channel, Hemo Solo Productions, doing Friday the 14th podcast and Friday the 14th podcast UHD, which I do with Mr. One.
Which the next episode is June 8th, 8 p.m. Father's Day. Nick, I'm excited about this watch. I can't wait for this review. I think it's going to be a fun episode. We're also going to have a special guest on that.
Nick does not look excited about this.
Well, I feel kind of uncomfortable. I mean, I was already almost done watching it today, so I'm just saying it's kind of uncomfortable to watch alone. So nice. I suggest don't watch it with anyone else.
But you said we're going to have a special guest June 8th. You want to mention the special guest on here?
So a special guest we're going to have on is a guy known as the Funko Fat Guy. His channel is all about collecting Funko Pops. But I think he's going to slow down for a while because he had recently got a Grail Pop. But speaking of pops, I believe, Zach, you have a collection back behind you.
See it right there. Yeah.
So is yours like movie themed or just things generally like?
Things mostly general liked, movies, TV, television shows, kind of. I have like, just kind of like, I don't know how you would say it, just kind of like pop culture people. Like I have, Smokey the Bear and just all different types of different ones. So
nice.
So I just ordered one that was like $60. It's a new Jurassic Park one. It's like probably that big. I don't know if you can see that. It has like a poster in the background and it has the T-Rex eating the Velociraptor. So
nice. Well, next week is our last bonus episode, Thursday, June 9th. We're talking Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom. Then we're taking the two following Thursdays off, but we're coming back with a bang. June 30th, 7:30 p.m., Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones, the 20th anniversary of Star Wars Episode II. Some call it the absolute worst in the franchise. We're going to discuss it. Anybody who's more than welcome to be involved. I know me and Craig will be there. Nick, Zach, if anybody else wants to tag along, you're more than welcome to. Star Wars Episode II is on Disney Plus.
Yeah, but that would require me to watch Attack of the Clones. So I'm just saying.
But Monday, this Monday, June 6th, 2022, we're talking Goodfellas from 1990, Martin Scorsese, Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro,
the late great Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta. And we're also talking our top five Ray Liotta movies.
Yep.
This Monday, on the podcast on Monday, so which is right there. I'm kind of excited. It was a last minute addition. We were going to talk the 20th anniversary of The Bourne Identity, but with the passing of Ray Liotta, I was like, hey, why not talk about the guy. And why not talk about Goodfellas? It's one of my favorite movies. And you can check it out on HBO Max.
Yep.
So,
And they have like a little thing when you start the movie. They have like a little card that says "In Remembrance, Ray Liotta." So that's nice.
Nice. Other than that, man. And then Nick, June 15th, Friday the 14th, the main show. We're talking the ABCs of Death.
Mm.
Have you done a little bit more looking into that, or are you? How do you feel about that?
I don't feel about that. It's like you should pick something else to bet. Now I'm looking forward to watching the movie. Probably gonna order it online, get the Blu-ray. Once that comes in, I'm just gonna dive right into it.
Nice. It's been a long time since I watched it. Again, if you guys want to go back and listen to yesterday's episode, Friday the 14th, we talked about Malevolent, right? Malevolent.
Mm.
With
Malevolence, I don't know.
With the great, amazing Florence Pugh. So go back and listen to that episode as well. It was a fun episode. Me, Nick, and Fuentes talked about it. And I forgot it was my pick, and I just randomly threw ABCs of Death in there. So you guys can send some hate mail to us. I'll apologize for it.
You look to your right, and you're like, oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah, for sure. if you guys want to share your star ratings for any of these movies that we talk about, on any of the shows, I mean, you can email the Cinnamon Movie Podcast at cinemen921@gmail.com, and every Monday we read the email bag. So hit us up. Zach, Nick, do you guys have anything you want to add before we escape Jurassic World?
I think that's it for right now.
Yeah.
We'll see you at the Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen Kingdom next week. Goodfellas Monday right here on the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. Have a good night, guys. Good weekend. Stay safe. We love you, Johnny Depp.